don't let her know tonight after 7 o'clock, no point, alright? Let her know before 7 o'clock, be organized about it, and then she can let someone else know that they can get it ready for you tomorrow morning, okay? The shop don't open early, so if you let them know earlier today, you can get it done earlier, alright? Flowers also, and incense also. The reason we do it in Wanamgyal is because it's easier, it's faster, don't have to bargain, and you know, surprising to be one person all the time. That would be very interesting. Okay? Any questions on that? And then also, the group has collected funds to offer each of the monks a set of robes that's very, very nice. So after the breakfast ceremony, we'll get up and we'll make offerings to the Buddha and the Dharma, and then we'll make offerings to Sangha. Very, very, very nice. Mm-hmm. Anila, can you sit here? Can I ask you a question? Quick, come on, quick. Can I ask you a question? You cannot robot. You're sitting here. Those of you who are taking refuge, it's the same. Those of you who are not taking refuge have taken before, it's the same. Those of you who are not taking refuge, even when you decided that you don't have the intent to take refuge, you're not taking refuge. Don't worry about that. Just go along with it because prayer is prayer. The refuge ceremony is not long, it's not complicated, it's not difficult. It's very simple, it's very easy, but it has to come from the heart. Generating a mind of enlightenment is not something that has a lot of rituals and outer form. It comes from inside. Today you're in a very holy place, alright? Today you're in a very, very holy place, and you're in a holy area. So it's very, very important to generate a good mind thought. It's very important to generate a good attitude. Please don't waste this opportunity. Whatever you make a promise here, don't break the promise. Whatever mind that you have set forth here, keep it going. Because this place is very, very powerful. If in the past you have come across things that you're not happy about, you have come across things you're not pleased about, if you've come across things that you find difficult in your lives, it's all self-created. Directly and indirectly self-created. It could have been created, the causes could have been created from a previous life. It could be created in this life. Whatever the situation, whatever unhappiness or whatever difficulties we have, physical, mental, it comes from a cause. That cause can only be created by ourselves. If I eat, you cannot be cold. If I run around naked in the cold, you cannot get the flu or you cannot get sick. Similarly, if you take medicine, I cannot get well. Similarly, if you have a disease and you're not feeling good, and you're not feeling well, then it's not good enough just to praise a doctor. It's not good enough to go to the clinic and put an ambulance around the clinic. It's not good enough to keep the picture or a statue of a doctor and make offerings to the doctor every single day. It's not good enough to make 100,000 prostrations for mandala offerings to the doctor every single day. It's not good enough to wear the doctor's picture on your locket. It's not also good to recommend the doctor to other people. It doesn't also help your disease in any way, shape, or form. If you sponsor the doctor, you know that you're responsible for him. It doesn't help you in any way, shape, or form if you sponsor and support the doctor himself and all his expenditure. So if you support the doctor's expenditure, you go and clean the doctor's house, you go and wash the doctor's car, you go and you prostrate to the doctor, make statues with him, sponsor him, and take care of him in any shape, way, and form, and praise. It doesn't help your disease at all. So some of us have been in Dharma for a very, very, very long time. Yes, half-heartedly. Some of us wholeheartedly. Some of us 50%, some of us 80%, some of us 100%. We'll go and serve the great doctor. We'll go and serve the great healer. But even after many years of service, we still don't heal. we still don't have transformation. It says in Lama Tsongkhapa's Lamrim, I read recently, some of us meet our lamas, some of us meet our gurus. And the minute we meet our gurus and we meet our lamas, the things that we do with our lama, the attitude we generate with our lama, creates two situations. One is, from the day we meet our lama, we can create a generation of attitude that makes us go away from the lama, eventually. Or we generate a type of attitude that we come closer to the lama. Going away from the lama, going away, is not physically necessarily going away. It doesn't mean you physically go away. It means mentally. What does it mean? Each year you're with the lama, each year you're with your guru, your attitude changes and it becomes more and more and more and more and more and more and more distant. More and more far. Your guru's attitude towards you, your attitude to your guru becomes farther. So it says that in the Lamrim specifically. That some of us have the wrong attitude, some of us have the wrong motivation, or some of us don't create a motivation. So when we go near our teacher, who can benefit us so much, instead of becoming closer, we could become farther and farther and farther because of our attitude. Yeah. Maple? Translate? Just give a rundown. Number one, we're in the holy place. Don't waste a chance. Number two, we're going to take vows to generate good motivation. Number three, whatever motivation, whatever power we think creates the closeness to our lama, creates the closeness of distance from our lama. Number four, the reference of a doctor. And sponsoring a doctor is how we cannot heal from them. 5 points. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. Quickly, quickly. Don't waste the opportunity. Why? You're in a very holy place. So if you're in a holy place, you have a chance to generate something very holy. Number three, Eugenic. Hello? You're translating? You can see translating, you can translate. Then number three. If you have a very serious disease, no matter how good the doctor is, if we do not listen to the doctor's instructions, we cannot heal. We can sponsor the doctor, build a hospital, keep an altar. Altar. We can make statues of him. We can praise him. Whatever we do with that doctor is of no use because if we don't take his medicine, it has no effect. Some of us in Dharma for many years. Although in Dharma many years, the attitude no change. No result. Never mind an outside result. Never mind more awareness for other people. Never mind about money. Never mind about being better in life. Never mind being benefit to others. But after many, many years, we still are people who depend on others. We still use others. We still depend on other people's kindness. We never develop an attitude that we can be some benefit to others. We can be some hope for others. Then again, this point very, very important, which is if we have a wrong attitude, if we have a wrong motivation, and we stay around our lamas, we create the causes for us to be apart from them. I want you all to look at this old nun doing prostration. Look how old she is and look at the effort she put in. Take a look at you. That's the power of the mind. Slowly, and surely, she's doing 100,000. Look at that. It's so difficult for her. One prostitute takes how long to look? And we complain we cannot be prostitutes. We complain we're busy. We complain we're sick. We complain that we don't have the facilities. We complain we don't have time. Now look. One prostitute takes how long? Just notice the effort. That if you really want to be prostitutes, if you really want to be, then you can. There's people all around you, all the connections in America, all the countries, foreigners, Tibetans, locals, everyone. Some people are doing mandala offerings, foreigners, 100,000, some are doing prostitutes. You don't need to be in this place, you can do anywhere you want, if you really want to. If you really want to. Yeah, that's it. Another empty ceremony.
No.
Please don't make this another ceremony where you disappoint yourself. Please don't just make this another ceremony that you disappoint the three jewels. Please don't make this another ceremony that you just sit there and you're thinking about the next step, thinking about lunch, thinking about what you're going to do, and you get home, thinking about your next point in your life. Don't make this another ceremony. Yes. In the sutras, it says there's no higher place that you can get to do pilgrimage, to do prayer, to start a motivation, to plant the seed of enlightenment. There's no higher place than here in the sutras. In the tantra, it states that the highest place is the residence of your guru. In the tantra, it says the highest place to pilgrimage, the highest place to collect merit and develop the mind of generation of bodhicitta is your guru, is in the presence or near your guru or your guru's residence. So the highest pilgrimage point in tantra is your guru's residence. So some of us will go to a pilgrimage place, whether it's Bodh Gaya or to our guru's house, and they will generate a good motivation and do dharma work. Some of us will go there to a pilgrimage place and pray for small things and negative things and things that are related to samsara. Some of us will go to our guru's residence and generate a negative motivation and do dharma work that is half-hearted. The people who generate correct motivation, correct attitude, correct thinking, and they go to the pilgrimage or they go to the guru's house, after a few months, you'll see a difference. Similarly, a person who generates the misguided motivation or wrong motivation, wrong doesn't mean evil, wrong motivation, and they go to a pilgrimage place, or they go to their guru's house, sutra or tantra. After a few months, and of course in a few years, you'll definitely see their results. You'll see their attitude, their facial expression, the way they are, how they operate. You will see definitely the result of their motivation. Very clear. Those who generate the wrong motivation will get the wrong result, and the wrong result will only come to them, and it will be very clear and obvious. Those who generate the right motivation will get the right result. It's very simple. What you plant is the tree that will grow. If we have had the fortune to come across the Buddha Dharma in sutra view, and we had the fortune to come across our guru in tantra view, and I say two views because people have different views. If we have the good fortune to come across the Dharma in sutra view, and if we have the good fortune to come across the guru in tantra view, we should take full advantage of this. We should take full advantage by every day that we're able to be near our guru, either physically or mentally. Physically or mentally. If in a holy place we are to generate a bodhicitta attitude, a good attitude, if in a holy place. In tantra view, if we're near our teacher, should we not generate the same attitude? So, if in sutra view, we generate a good attitude, and we meet the Buddha, and we practice the Dhamma, we will definitely have a difference in our lives, even in sutra view, although it's not as quick. In tantra view, if we generate a good view and good attitude around a guru, definitely we will see transformation in our mind. Definitely. Notice the anila. She must be 70 plus. Imagine her getting on a train from South India a few days, comes here and rents a very small place, like with a home guest house with friends, has very little money, carries all her bags here by herself, takes care of herself, and does prostitution. And it's cold. Take a look. That's the determination of the mind. Even her body is so old, so bent, she still uses it to the maximum before she has to abandon her body. Take a look. I really feel happy and inspired. Those of us who are young, when there's a fault, we just translate quick, 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 quick. those of us who are young, those of us who are fit, those of us who are strong, those of us who have disease, but we still can generate energy. We definitely can do practice, such as the preliminary after today, no one in the group can never mention again that they don't have time, energy, or effort, or any kind of physical health to do prostration again. And some people challenge and say, if I do Dharma practice, let's see if I get the result. If you practice Dharma with such a challenging attitude, you don't challenge me or the Dharma, you challenge Buddha. And you don't put the correct challenge to yourself. If prostration is wrong, everybody here is wrong. If prostration doesn't bring results, everybody here will get no results. If prostration is wrong, the Lord Buddha who became enlightened here, and all the people here doing prostration and practices are wrong. Every single person is stupid, except myself, who says that these practices do not bring results. Sometimes when we hear the Dharma, or we hear something that may apply to us many, many times, maybe after we've heard it many, many times, our skin becomes very thick, it doesn't affect us anymore, we think, ah, whatever he said, whatever they said, whatever we mean, never mind, that attitude is the worst. If you've been told many times, out of compassion and kindness and love, to give yourself a certain way of giving a message, and you can reply back, oh, I've heard it many times, never mind, or oh, I'm not afraid, or whatever, and your skin's very thick, what is that a sign of? Your merit has run out, and you have not collected more merit. A person who has merit, when they're told that, they immediately feel embarrassed, they feel shy, and they reform, they change. A person with no merit will fight back. A person with no merit will be confrontational. A person with no merit will brush it off with a joke. That's the difference with a person with a merit and no merit. Merit meaning the good foundation, the good energy karma force to bring us to a higher state of mind and higher and better opportunities in life. When you don't have that merit, yes, you can live, you can eat, you can get work, but you will never move higher, never. So a person who's been told many times and it doesn't affect them, or they don't care, or it's just in 1 year, out 1 year, is a lack of merit. Finish the merit. Those are indications if you know the Dharma. And those who actually are confrontational and fight and talk back or violent or doesn't care is a sign of lack of merit. If you say lack of merit, what's the difference? What is the repercussion? You cannot move higher than life. And those people who actually don't make a difference in their lives, those people actually, if you know that, never change. And those people who are confrontational, get angry at the Dharma, at their gurus, at everything except themselves, those people, if you notice them, year after year, they do not change. They remain exactly the same, and their attitude is just like that. So you check their attitude, and you check the result of their practice, and then you can compare. Check. Don't take it that I said so. Check. So, if we have no shame, if we have no shame, it comes from two reasons. One is we don't want to push ourselves, and we're embarrassed. So we say we have no shame, we don't care, we cover. Number two, it is truly a lack of merit. Please differentiate between merit and karma. There's a very big difference. Karma gives you good things. But from karma, when you get good things, the more good things you get, the worse you become, the more spoiled you become, the more lazy in attitude, you just go down, 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 down as a result of good karma. Example, someone who has very good karma and hits the lottery, they get a lot of money. If they don't have good merits, they go down. Drinking, alcohol, gambling, they waste things away, their attitude changes, they forget their friends, they get new friends, they completely change. When you have merit, you automatically will have good karma. Everything starts from the mind. Whether you want to do or not starts from the mind. Even some people very proudly say, I don't have merit. That's why I can't do this. I can't accomplish this because I don't have merit. I have to make more merit. Even they use the holy Dharma as an excuse not to do and not to do Dharma. Even the holy Dharma is used as an excuse. How much we improve is how much benefit we will get and happiness we bring for ourselves. How much we improve is how much happiness we will create for ourselves. How much our mind gets distracted, how much our mind cannot concentrate, how much we cannot focus and push ourselves is how much we cannot accomplish. What we can accomplish, how much we have accomplished, is a clear indication of how much effort and concentration and how much time we have put into changing ourselves. How much we have changed ourselves, how much effort we have put towards ourselves, the real way will result, people can see all around us. That means some people put a lot of effort into themselves, getting to be right, never to be wrong. When they argue with someone, they want to be right, they want to be correct. They don't want to ever let the other person win. Some people put a lot of effort towards that, but they don't put they think that that's putting effort towards themselves. They think that that's the best way they can help themselves, is to perhaps protect their reputation, protect who they are. But actually, that is the wrong way to apply effort to yourself. Why? If you fight one person and win, you have to fight another person. You have to fight another person. You have to fight another person. And that fighting never ever ends, because samsara's sentient beings are unlimited. Unlimited. There are more of them and there's only one of you. More of them and one of you. Therefore, if you always want to win, If you always want to be correct, you always don't want to lose face, you always want to be in the right. You are in the right, you are not in the right, doesn't really matter. But that effort you put towards being right all the time is wasted, because even if you win with that one person, you may not win with the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And one day your energy will exhaust. So therefore, the best way, the best effort to put, instead of always being right, arguing, fighting, criticizing, instead of always trying to be right and putting your energy towards that, you can put it towards the first of the eight verses of transforming the mind. Whenever I associate with others, may I think myself the lowest among all and hold others supreme from the depths of my heart. That is a very difficult line to follow. That's a very difficult line. That is inspired by Avalokiteshvara himself. Again, inspired by Lord Buddha. That thought. So that thought is to put everybody above us and put ourselves below them is not self-deprecating. It's not putting yourself down. It is an attitude in which you generate courage and respect for others. So if you put that attitude towards respect towards others, if you put that attitude and you always generate your energy towards that all the time, and you put your energy towards that will be better than arguing and making yourself right with everyone and trying to not lose face. Either way, you have to make an effort. It will be better to put effort towards yourself, transform yourself, so whoever comes to you, they don't affect you, rather than trying to put your energy towards defending yourself with every single person. It could be your wife, it could be your husband, it could be your brothers or sisters, it could be your cousins, it could be your parents, it could be your children, it could be your loved ones, it could be anyone that you are in contact with all the time, that you always try to be right. And from the time you're born up till now, how much energy have you put towards being right? Towards being correct? How much energy has been wasted? Look at yourselves. Look at yourselves in the mirror. Look at how much time has passed for you to be right. Whether it's parents, whether people have wronged you, whether it's brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, it doesn't matter. If we spend our life justifying what we're doing, if we spend our lives trying to be correct, if we spend our lives always defending and not losing face, and always trying to win, even if we're with our girlfriends, we're with our boyfriends, and we're always arguing and fighting and trying to win and be right, we have put all our energy towards that. And then the next person will come. Then the next person will come. Then the next person. Where do we get to? What do we accomplish? And how many years have we spent in trying to be right? And those people who are always trying to be right, in fact, they exude an opposite energy. In fact, people want to challenge them even more. In fact, people want to fight with them even more. And sometimes people group together to get them. So it's much easier on a superficial level to let people win. It's much easier on a Dharma level to let people win. If your husband says something that's wrong, check. Yes, he's wrong, but if I scold him, if I tell him off, if I control him, will that help him? If my wife says something wrong, check. Well, if I say this, will it help her? Will it benefit her? Or will it harm her and push her in a corner? Will it make her alienate herself from me? Check. Check carefully and think. So like that, instead of putting all your energy into being correct, instead of putting all your energy into defending yourself, instead of that, it would be better to put your energy into generating a mind that has superior concern for others. And when we have that mind that has concern for others, all your actions will flow naturally. Your speech will change. Your body language will change. Your motivation will change. Even what you work for and why you work and what you do in work, that whole motivation will change. Naturally, those people who don't put an effort towards others and they put an effort towards themselves the wrong way, you will see everything around them not change after many years. And they're the people that invite scolding, invite harsh words, invite unhappiness, invite disharmony for themselves constantly. So if you want to bring happiness to yourself, that is the right way. If you want to become an enlightened being to benefit others, that is the right way. If you don't believe in Dharma, that is the right way. If you believe in Dharma, that's the right way. Either way, you win. So if you want to take this as a Buddhist practice of letting other people win, you win. If you want to take this as a good psychological practice, you also win. Either way, you win. in a nutshell.
基本上就是说我们的多少生活呢放在一个事情上就是比较特别，但是呢如果我们就是在保护我们自己呢，只要我们自己真正的就是对人呢，我们其他呢我们这边的事呢，这个其实一个正常的生活呢，如果是如果我们医院呢，就是主要原因呢，我们所吃的东西呢，就是很多。如果我们呢，把我们的目的呢，不是说就是帮助孩子，就是说帮助别人，让其他让人可以赢的话呢，我们呢不能不可以帮助到别人，这是什么意思？要把全部的精力集中在自己。第三个是把自己先量身帮助别人。
When you guys do translation, a good note to remember, because I used to translate for my movies all the time, it was very difficult for me at first. What you do is don't try to remember every word. Listen to the whole thing, no matter how long, and get the feeling and the principle and the idea, and get one example to share a good one. Okay, just think what the whole subject matter is about. Then say the subject matter, and then give one example. That's all. You don't have to remember all the details. Okay, that's the secret of translation.And the second secret translation actually have notes. I mean, you don't need to do that. You have notes. You write the points. And then you just write 1 point, 2 point, 3 point, then you can recite. Because the minute you read that point, you'll remember. Because your memory doesn't forget that fast. All right? That's for translation. That would be very beneficial. I was forced into translation by a few of my gurus. You know, really actually forced, where I hardly spoke any Tibetan. It was very hard. But it challenges your mind. It makes you think. It makes you think fast. All right? Now,Some of us put a lot of effort into ourselves. A lot of effort. Some of us put a lot of time and energy into ourselves to make ourselves secure, to make ourselves happy, to make sure we have money, to make sure we have friends, to make sure we are respected and loved. We put a lot of energy. And you know what? You and I, me and you, all of us, there's no difference. We all want love. We all want respect. We all want people to think well of us. We all want people to look up at us and not look down. We all want people to smile at us. We all want people to forgive us for our mistakes. We all want people to help us, and we need that social support. Human beings are social animals. We need that from everyone. High lamas, all the way downTo a very humble sweeper. Everybody needs love, compassion, understanding. Everyone. Those are human qualities that we need and we need to receive. So whether we believe in Dharma or not, those qualities we need to believe in. Some of us think, oh, this guy is talking about Dharma and Dharma and Dharma and Dharma. I'm not very confirmed about Dharma. I like it, but I'm not confirmed. It's okay. I'm not offended. Buddha's not offended. Buddhism is not a faith. It's stuffing it down your throat and you have to believe it.But you as human beings can see the reality of the speech, which is you need compassion, you need respect, you need love. How is it that you need all of that? How is it? Why is it? What's the purpose you need all of that? You need all that because you're a social animal, a social being, a being that needs to interact socially with other beings. So if you like getting a smile,If you like getting understanding and compassion, if you like getting respect, why don't you give it? Instead of putting all your energy into defending yourself because you didn't put your energy into changing yourself. So therefore you have to exert your energy into defending yourself. Instead of defending yourself, why don't you put your energy into changing yourself? Either way, you have to expend your energy.You have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to have energy. So when you have that energy, I think it would be more worthwhile to transform yourself and not put that energy toward defending yourself. Because it's very practical. If you defend yourself, one day you have to lose, one day you have to stop, because you can't defend yourself to every single person that comes along your life. And those of us who choose to live in a very secluded world, hiding among our siblings, among our parents, among our friends, maybe with our husband, what we just hide. And we make up a little make-believe world. And we complain to other people close to us. We don't make contact with outside people. But we complain, we make noise, we make problems, we demand, we expect, we're jealous, we want, we look at the people around us, and we make trouble for people around us constantly. Constantly. And we always want to be understood by people around us. We always want to be heard by people around us. And we always have an explanation for people around us of why we didn't accomplish something, why we didn't make it. And when we look at other people's items, we feel jealous, we feel unhappy, we feel left behind. Yet, the secret here is very simple. To apply your effort towards the right direction. To apply your effort towards accomplishing what you like to accomplish. So how many years have we put our effort towards? How many years have we put our effort towards? I use one example. Being right. In being right, we always become wrong. Why? In being right, the people who are like us, who are impatient, will go away immediately. The people who are very kind will smile at you and let you, never mind, let whatever you say pass. The people who are confrontational with you will fight. The people who really love you and want to benefit you and want to give you advice and help you and tell you something, they keep quiet. And you lose. Why? You don't get that advice. You don't hear another perspective. You don't hear another way. You don't have a chance to improve. So if we don't have that correct attitude, I'm using this one mental attitude of defending ourselves, we lose. We lose. And then after a while, even the people that we love and we want to be near and we want to keep, it becomes a very big effort to keep. We have to use many, many means and many methods and many ways to manipulate, to control, to keep those people near. Some people just stay alone. They just stay alone because they put effort into staying alone. Why? It's too much effort to transform themselves to be with other people. Either way, those two extreme groups lose in the end. Why? This life will end. Everything you have will end. Everything will be thrown to the wind. So either extreme, we cannot win. That's why now while we have the chance, we should develop the courage of the mind to transform. And not to sit here at another holy place, go to another ceremony, listen to another Dharma talk, and come out unchanged, unmoved. No transformation. Yes, it was beautiful. Go back to Malaysia and our respective countries and say, what a beautiful retreat. Look at the pictures. Rimshi gave a wonderful speech. We had great food. And we joked and we laughed. You know, we escaped the tsunami. And it just becomes another object of gossip and talk and senseless.